Dossier on Demetrius. A document now gathering dust in a silent room.
Major Keene, in his room on the Thames embankment, turns another page of The Dossier on Demetrius.
The first moves I made to clear the way for Demetrius to return to Bookman's sanatorium went like clockwork. My RAF chum, Fagan, pitched Eustace Manningly his tale, and Manningly hopped straight on the phone to tell me all about it. But I didn't want to hear the story from Manningly. I'd originated it for Colonel Fentress's benefit. So I told him if he wanted to be paid for his information, he'd better pass it on to the Colonel. But while all this telephoning was going on, I'd had Hady with me. Fentress had been forced to release her, and the girl seemed to be at the end of her tether. Until the affair of Demetrius was finally cleared up, she said she wanted to spend most of her time at my flat. And, of course, I was delighted with the idea. Well, there matters stood at the moment when I hung up on Eustace Manningly. I told Hady to wait while I went off to round up Peter Ridgway. But what I didn't know was that the moment I drove off, she made a phone call. And she was interrupted in the middle of it.
But you still have to be terribly careful. Keene hasn't given up, and there's something going on. No, let me tell you. Why, Katz, what are you doing here?
I might ask you that, miss. What are you doing here?
Major Keene asked me to wait. He's gone out for a while. He said something about Peter Ridgway. Why, what's the matter, Katz? Do you have to stand and stare at me like that?
I'm sorry if I interrupted your phone call, Miss Bergner.
Oh, it was nothing. Just a friend of mine, and I was hanging up when you came in anyway.
Just a friend of yours?
Anna Selden. You may have heard me speak of her.
No, I haven't, miss. Did the Major say how long he'd be?
No, Katz, he didn't.
You won't mind if I wait for him, too?
It's nothing to do with me. But if I'm going to have the benefit of your enchanting company, Katz, you can make yourself useful and pour me a drink.
Oh, I can do that all right. There seems to be everything here but ice.
Well, have a look in the kitchen. Isn't that where you generally find ice?
It's where you find the sort you put in drinks, miss.
Did he hear what I was saying on the phone? Did he? Did he? Oh, surely not. He walked straight in and I was speaking quietly. Oh, but I do need that drink.
While Cuts and Hady were waiting at my flat that night, and I was looking for Peter Ridgway, an ambulance pulled very quietly into a deserted warehouse down near the docks. We would see more of this ambulance, as it turned out.
Yachty, did you bring the two poles?
Yeah.
It was good work getting this ambulance. You two fellows, Waffel and Gonski, isn't it? Get that tarpaulin and cover the thing up till we need it. But come here first. Before Yachty and I go back to the boat, I want to make certain that you all understand your instructions. Now, the new Waffel.
Yeah?
You're not known to Keene, any of his men, or anyone at the sanatorium. You will go there tomorrow morning as some sort of tradesman. I want to know how hard it is for a stranger to get in. I want to know the whole state of affairs at Bookman Sanatorium by tomorrow night. Do you understand?
Yeah.
At the proper time, and with the proper stage management, we'll arrive at the sanatorium to take away a patient. I will be the doctor. Yachty and either Waffel or Ugonski will be orderlies. Once inside the sanatorium, we'll recover the loot and we'll contrive to carry it out to the ambulance on a stretcher. That can be rehearsed well in advance. Then we'll use violence as much as is necessary. But we're not leaving without our booty. Remember this. If by any chance we should meet our old friend Major Keene at the sanatorium, we shoot on sight. Do you understand? We shoot Gregory Keene on sight.
Yeah.
Well, you took some running to ground, Ridgway. I've covered half the pubs in Knightsbridge.
Oh, I thought this was the first place you'd look. What's up, Keane?
Let's get away from the bar and I'll tell you. Grab your beer.
Right, eh?
Now, listen. Jerry Fagan found Eustace Manningly at a place in Soho called Penny's. And Manningly went for the story like a hen for pollet.
How do you know?
First from Fagan. And then Manningly was on the phone himself tonight, trying to peddle his information for 50 quid. According to Manningly, Fagan flew Demetrius and Yachty Bloom to France early this morning.
Did you pass him along to Fentress?
Well, what do you think?
And what do we do now?
I'd like you and Mitchell and Bonnet to stand by. I think Fentress will go for it. And I'll know where he stands if he grabs Fagan. Yes, it all depends on Fentress going after Jerry Fagan.
How come?
Well, if he goes after Fagan, Fagan will make him believe the story's true. You see, Fagan did fly to France and back. Fentress will check on that.
But will he take his men off the sanatorium?
Now, look. He knows Demetrius wouldn't leave without his loot. It stands to reason it's what he came here for. It's what Godowsky, Quinn, Scammell, Marzotti, and Rubinstein were killed for. It's £1 million in gems of the world's two best currencies. If Fagan can make Fentress believe Demetrius is gone, escaped, got clean away, then why in the world will he keep 10 men hanging about Bookman's sanatorium?
Well, put like that, it does look pretty good.
Demetrius has control of I don't know how many of the Soho black market chaps, the Poles and so on. Probably everyone who got into this country with his forged papers racket. He has a smooth and disciplined organization, so he's bound to have someone keeping an eye on the sanatorium. And the moment he sees the coast's clear, he'll move in.
And so do we.
Right. Now, where will you be in the next few days where I can grab you at a moment's notice?
At Margaret's flat. If I'm not actually there, she'll know where I am.
Mm-hmm. Can I leave Bonnet and Mitchell to you?
Uh-huh.
Good show. And, thanks, Ridgway. I was wrong about you from the start. I'm sorry.
Oh, shut up. Forget all about it. Just let's keep our decks clear for action and bring this fellow Demetrius down. I say, Keane, do you really think he'll turn up at the sanatorium?
No, he'll turn up. And in strength. I'm absolutely certain of it.
If someone doesn't warn him again.
Demetrius won't be warned this time.
For Pete's sake, Keane, don't tell her anything.
You wouldn't be referring to Hady, would you?
No, no, don't get up in the air. There's a good chap. Just listen to me for once and don't tell her a thing.
I don't intend to, Ridgway. And not for your reasons, either. Cheerio. I'm going back to my flat. Oh, can I give you a lift anywhere?
No, thanks. I'm off, but I think I'll walk. Oh, just one thing. Suppose this stunt of yours comes off. Do you care how you get Demetrius?
How do you mean?
Does it matter whether you get him dead or alive?
Ridgway, I want Demetrius alive. Good night.
Ridgway. Is that you, Mr. Ridgway?
Who's that?
It's Tom Cutts.
Hop in, sir.
What's up?
Tell you in the car.
Right, eh? Where did you spring from?
Oh, I've been waiting for the Major to leave the pub.
Well, what's up?
It's about the Bergney girl. Look here, Mr. Ridgway. Everyone but Major Keane's pretty sure about that girl, almost from the start, right?
I've been perfectly certain. What's this leading up to, Cuts?
Well, everything that's ever happened since you and Captain Mitchell and A.D. Bergner and Demetrius got into that plane at Temple of Aerodrome's been open to two ways of looking at it. Until tonight, A.D. Bergner could have been just what she seems. A sweet dish mixed up in something that's not her fault.
Until tonight, Cuts? Well, come on, give.
Well, I've always said to myself, if she's the one who's been tipping Demetrius off, how did she do it? She's been pollard for weeks. Her phone's been tapped.
Oh, I know all that. Get to the point.
She came to Major Keane's flat tonight and said she was this and that, scared out of her blinking wits and so forth. Could she spend most of her time there in future?
Wants to use Keane's phone, eh? That's colossal nerve.
Right, sir. And tonight I caught her in the act. I heard her as I came through the Major's door. She said to someone, "Be terribly careful. Keane hasn't given up yet."
Did you give yourself away?
Oh, I don't think so.
So now at last we've got something on her. You were right, Cutts. None of us have ever been absolutely sure of her, not even me. Why have you told me this, Cutts?
Well, I don't think the Major will believe me if she pitches him some story and gives him the treatment. She's got him like that. What we have to do is keep quiet for the moment and see if we can't make her give herself away. To Major Keene himself.
Yes, but how the devil are we...
I've got an idea. We'll work it with this sanatorium stunt. Right now, I'm going to drop you off and make for the embankment. You won't say a word about 80 to the Major, will you, sir?
No, not I, Cuts. This'll do on the corner. Good man. Keep in close contact, Cuts. When you're ready to pin her down, call on me if you want a hand.
Oh, I will that, Mr. Ridgway.
Well, look at the clock, Hady. Time I was taking you home.
Now, Keene, darling, I wish I didn't have to go.
But you do, you know. Come along.
Oh, sorry, Major. I used my key. I thought you were alone, sir.
Well, that's all right, Cuts. Come in.
I've just come from the embankment, sir. Colonel Fentress was there.
Well?
Well, I thought you'd like to know right away, sir. They've picked up Jerry Fagan.
Yes, things were moving. I knew Fagan wouldn't let me down. Within a day or two, the coast would be clear. And with Cuts and the others behind me, I didn't care what happened when Demetrius showed up at the sanatorium. But if I could have foreseen the shape of things to come, I would have cared. Demetrius had cards up his sleeve that we didn't even dream about.
Events move swiftly to a climax at the sanatorium. Listen to the next chapter in this story of suspense, Dossier on Demetrius.